Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols from Federal Baseball on the line. This is Danny Espinosa's world. We're all just living in it, Dave. Steven Strasburg on the mound. We'll start with him tonight, though. True game-time decision as both Strasburg and Lucas Giolito warmed up before the game just in case Strasburg couldn't make it. At about 1:30 before a 1:35 start, the Nationals officially announced that he was coming back off the DL. Joe Ross lands on the DL. We'll talk about that after we talk about the game. But Steven Strasburg comes off, 18 days off, comes back dominant, four scoreless on 62 pitches, three walks, three Ks. To that point, five scoreless on 81, nine straight, 17 of 18 retired after a 1-2-3-6. Done after 109 pitches and 6 2/3 hitless, which was hard to notice because there were kind of guys on base all afternoon, but hadn't allowed a hit at that point, but he was up to 109 pitches in his first start back after he missed two turns in the rotation. Dusty Baker, I think, makes the right move there. It's really hard to argue with that, honestly. Four walks, five Ks total on the day. Really just a dominant return to the rotation, 6 2/3, no hits, no runs, obviously, four walks, five Ks, 109 pitches, 70 strikes, 7-3 ground outs, a fly out. Great to have Steven Strasburg back on the mound there in the nation's capital.
Yeah, he was great. You know, you mentioned the walks, and that certainly added to his burden, and that last inning in the seventh there, I mean, you could see every pitch he was throwing. He was laboring a little bit more. And I'm sure the Nats capped him, you know, had a plan to cap him at, you know, 90, 95, 100 pitches, whatever it might have been today, his first start coming off the DL. And, you know, you give him a little bit more rope because of the nature of what was going on. But Baker made the right decision to go out and get him when he did. He wasn't gonna pitch another inning. So why make him, you know, labor even harder there? For the sake of seven no-hit innings when 6 2/3 does the same thing. So just a tremendous performance by Strasburg coming off the DL. I'm sure he's going to be sore tomorrow, you know, having pitched a little longer than he expected today. But just good to see that the Nats, I think, handled this appropriately by giving him by putting him on the DL, giving him that extra time. You know, they're in a position right now where they don't have to force anybody to play, let alone pitch. You mentioned Joe Ross going on the DL essentially to you know, save him some innings and stretch out his season this year. But yeah, just definitely a tremendous performance by Strasburg coming off the DL.
Since you mentioned it, before we move on to all the offense for the day, right shoulder inflammation, his velocity. Cool words. His velocity dropped noticeably last night. Dusty Baker talked about it in the post game. They said in today's post game that an MRI today showed inflammation in the right shoulder. They had already been kind of cutting some of his outings short and watching his innings limit and pitch limit, however you want to define it, going forward in just his second full season in the majors. So not too surprising. Lucas Giolito looks like he'll stay up and make another couple starts while they figure out what's going on with Ross, and not too surprising, I don't think, after the way he's looked in the last two starts. At least they know what it is. Hopefully it's nothing significant with that shoulder, because we're talking about a 23-year-old here who's clearly major league ready, as he showed over the last 2 years, and would be a big blow if it was anything serious and not just them being extra cautious considering how young he is and how early in his career he is.
Yeah, and you know as well as I do, there's an inflammation in the right shoulder. Anytime you take an MRI of a major league pitcher's shoulder, it is going to show inflammation. It's just the degree of how much inflammation and where specifically it might be showing up on the MRI. But I don't think there's too much to worry about Ross. You know, I say this knocking on wood. You know, he showed a little bit of a drop in velocity, but still he had a couple of pitches where he hit 94-95 as well. So the idea that he wasn't able to maintain his velocity is probably a little more disconcerting than just having a dip in the velocity. So the Nats want to extend him for the rest of the season. He's going to be, you know, on an innings limit as much as anybody has the last couple of just because of he hasn't pitched 200 innings in a season, so they want to they don't want to jump his innings total more than 20% over last year. So this gives them the opportunity to stash him for a couple of weeks, let whatever was causing inflammation calm down a little bit, and then getting back for the second half of the season back at full strength. Hopefully that's all this is and nothing more than that.
Yeah, I think just about everyone in baseball is hoping that. I saw even Keith Law talking on today about how he's become one of his on Twitter about how he's become one of his favorite pitchers to watch. Everyone's enjoyed what they've seen from Joe Ross so far in his major league career. So I agree. Hopefully nothing too bad with the shoulder, and he can come back in the second half and continue doing what he's doing. John Lamb on the mound for the Reds. I was going to make a sacrificial lamb joke, but that's just mean. 2008 Royals fifth-round pick acquired in the Johnny Cueto deal. 1-4 on the year, winless in his last five-game start, but a 3.54 ERA, a 2.78, 3.19, 3.86 line against in 28 innings pitch over that stretch. A first pitch change to Wilson Ramos in the second ends up in the left field bullpen. Number 13 for Ramos makes it 1-0. Back-to-back-to-back walks just put him in a tough spot in the fourth. Danny Espinosa steps in, as Carpenter mentioned on the broadcast today. Bob Carpenter's first name was escaping me for a second there. Danny Espinosa hit a grand slam in his first game in the majors, didn't do one, hit one again until the start of this series when he hit one the other day. Now has two in the series. 3-2 change, just absolutely crushed it. 5-0 Nats at that point. Bryce Harper hits a 1-1 chain fastball on the fifth, 6-0, 7-0 on a Ramos RBI double, and that's just keep piling on. They gave Steven Strasburg all the run support he could need in what ends up a 12-1 win, but just the offense in general we'll talk about, I guess, and then get into some of Danny Espinosa's ridiculousness after that.
Yeah, just let me read the ERAs of the pitchers that pitched for the Reds today. 5.43, 7.30, 5.54, and 4.05. Those are yearly marks. I don't want to distract from what the Nats have done offensively in this series at all, because they have hit very well, and they have hit pretty well here for several weeks in a row now. But I want to offer just one slight caveat, because there is a reason that the Cincinnati Reds are 30-53. Let me read that again, 30-53. Their pitching stinks. It's probably, if it's not the worst pitching staff in Major League Baseball, it's pretty darn close to it. Let me say it again, they stink. So all this glad-handedness that's going on about the Nats offense comes with that caveat. However, you can't take anything away from what Danny Espinosa did this series. He every time he came up to the plate, hit the ball hard. Obviously, it's nice to have a weekend series where you hit four home runs and you hit, home runs from both sides of the plate twice in a series. I mean, that's something special. And obviously I have given Danny Espinosa as hard a time as anybody in DC sports media. But if you look at his overall numbers, for the season, if somebody had told you that Espinosa was going to hit 230, 330, 430, and provide you, if not gold caliber, close to it, defensive shortstop, I think anybody would have taken that. Sure, it's delaying the debut of one of the Nats' most heralded prospects, but at this point, the Nats don't have to replace him, and that's a great luxury that they have. They've been healthy so far this season, so you haven't had an injury replacement, and the first 2 months of the season, when Espinosa was hitting under 200, that's when they could have pulled the plug on him. But at this point, he's second or tied for first on the team in home runs, and you just you can't replace a guy like that. I mean, there are people that are talking about Danny Espinosa making the All-Star team now, and for me, it's kind of hard to make the All-Star team in a three-week season where the first 8 weeks of the season he was below replacement level. But the overall numbers show it. Like I said, 230, 330, 430 with 17 homers and 46 RBIs or whatever the heck it is. You can compare those against any shortstop in the National League, and they compare favorably.
four for five at the plate today. Two home runs, as you mentioned, grand slam in the fourth, solo shot in the seventh. There's a lot of "I told you so's" going around about the nation's capital when it comes to Espinoza. I'm not sure anyone can claim to actually having told us so, about, other than Mike Rizzo and maybe Dusty Baker, and I'm not sure either of them expected him to be doing what he's doing right now. I mean, 15 RBIs. I know everyone shuns RBI as a stat, but he has many runs driven in this series as a Red scored over the four-game set.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an anomaly. I mean, they're there, so they count towards the counting statistics, but you take them away and the numbers aren't as glossy, but again, they count as much as what he did in April and May.
Also, Daniel Murphy, I should say, just can't get Espinoza off the brain. Another multi-hit game, 2 for 4. Wilson Ramos, 3 for 4 with the home run. Rendon, 2 for 3. Just like you mentioned, Harper, 2 for 4 with the home run, his 17th of the year. Like you mentioned, it's fun to enjoy all this. It is also a Red team that's not very good, but Nationals win their 50th game of the year, 50-33 on the year after the win. It's hard to expect this to keep happening, but the Nationals' offense is kind of catching fire all at once. If you can just get Ryan Zimmerman going, it's just a really difficult lineup to get through for any pitcher, even a good one.
Right, and that's taking into consideration the leadoff spot has primarily been a dark hole all season. You know, the Nats scored 12 runs with 15 hits and got 0-for-5 out of the leadoff spot again today. So, if they were generating league average production from the leadoff spot, this offense would be hard to beat. That's all there is to it. Even with Zimmerman's struggles, and there's more trade rumors circulating around that the Nats might try to find an outfield bat that could also play first base, and that would be a nice luxury to have, but. But again, it would be a luxury. I mean, the Nats' offense is pretty solid, 1-8, anyway, with Espinoza hitting the way that he has been. Any production out of the leadoff spot at all, and this offense turns into a juggernaut.
Ken Rosenthal was the one yesterday spreading that talk around, talking about them kicking the tires on Jay Bruce, who's going to leave town now with the Reds. He also, I should mention at the end of that, which I think is important to our discussion here, mentioned that, as he said, another different kind of possibility would be for the Nats to promote Trey Turner to both leadoff and play center. I quoted Mike Rizzo in the article we wrote about those rumors today. We feel offensively that he's major league ready, Rizzo said of Turner last week. Defensively, he's come a long way as a shortstop, but Danny Espinoza is playing extremely well at shortstop up here. We've got a roster full of qualified quality players at the big league level, but Turner is a guy that we would like to see here in the big leagues to help us at the big league level. If we could make him more versatile and more valuable to us at multiple positions, I think that just adds to his value. I don't know that you're going to see Trey Turner come up here and take a spot from Ben Revere and Michael Taylor out there in center, but you need someone getting on base at the top of that order. He can handle the position from everything they've said. He's worked with the coaches down in Syracuse. They think he's capable of going out there. I don't think they'd put him out there. But do you view this as a possible solution to that leadoff and center field problem?
Well, anything's possibility until it's proven not, right? So, they are getting no production from the leadoff spot. And in Dusty Baker's offense and in Mike Rizzo's offense, the leadoff spot is also the center fielder. So it makes sense for them to kick the tires to see if Turner can pull it off. He's obviously got the speed to play center. He's a good athlete. He's a good ball player. This is a type of position where you don't like to say that it seems like it's a natural for him to go there because he hasn't done it at all in his professional career. But he's a good enough athlete that he should be able to make that type of transition if they want to do that. I think that long term his future is in the middle infield. I think that's where he provides the most value. That being said, the Nats don't have anybody really in the system for a couple of seasons. To even think about playing at the big leagues at the major league level, you've got Victor Robles who's in low A ball right now, so he's still several years away. Obviously, he looks like a tremendous prospect, but You know, so the idea of moving Turner to center field for a year or two is an intriguing one, just to get his bat in the order. I mean, he is the prototypical leadoff hitter that this team doesn't have right now. Even Ben Revere, you know, when he is hitting his career averages, he's a 300 hitter, sure, but he's not a big on-base percentage guy. I mean, he's a 300, 330 type of guy, 330 on base type of guy, which is okay at a year leadoff hitter, but it's still not good. I mean, you'd like to see your leadoff hitter 340, 350, even higher. And Trey Turner is that type of hitter. He's a high average, high on base guy. He's developing some pop. He's not going to hit 20 home runs, but he could hit you 10 or 12. And that's the type of bat you want leading off. And if he can play center field, all the better.
Being 33 on the year after the win tomorrow morning, I should stress, 11:05 a.m. start of the series opener with the Milwaukee Brewers. Max Scherzer on the mound, 9-5, 3.30 ERA against Junior Guerra, 5-1, 3.25 ERA. 11:05 a.m. for baseball on 4th of July. Should be a nice one. Talk to you after that one, sir, if you can manage to get up by the time the game's even over out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's going to be awful early for game time for me tomorrow. I might be able to join you for the end of it.
All right, Nats Nightly, sponsored by FederalBaseball.com. I'll talk to you all after tomorrow's game. Doghouse says, go Nats.